history. Your mercy covers me.
It's so lovely to be back out of the heat. And the heat's not so bad, but it's the humidity. And it knocks you. It's something else. Now, I want to, today, to continue where I left off last time I spoke here. I was speaking last time about six I wills of Jesus. Six times, well, he actually said more than six times, but six of the times that he said, I will. And when Jesus says, I will do something, that's a lot different than other people saying it. Have you ever said, just once ever said, I'll do that, I will, and you don't? And you know that you're not even going to do it. Yeah, I'll come round. Yeah, I will. But you won't. Gosh, you know something? This church would have 300 people if everybody in this town who'd said, I will be there, would be here. Yeah, can't really trust the human I will very much. Some people you can. But don't be thinking that that's what Jesus is like. For when Jesus says, I will, you can be certain he will. It's a certainty. You can put money on it. Not that we bet. Not that we're gambling folks. But if you were a gambling folk, that would be a good solid bet if he says it. And last time, we discovered it. The first thing he said and promised was the I will of salvation. We find that in John 6 and verse 37, where Jesus says, him who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's good news, isn't it? I will in no wise cast out. The full verse says, all that the Father gives to me, come to me, and he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Listen to me, this verse does not say, if you are worthy to come to me, I will not cast you out. If you're just a little sinner, come to me and I will not cast you out. No, 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 no. Salvation is exclusively for the unworthy. The minute you bring grace into your conversation and say that we're saved by grace, you are declaring unworthiness. It is only unworthy people who get saved. Otherwise, it's not grace. If you deserve salvation, it's not grace. And Jesus says, come unto me. I will in no wise cast you out. And so Jesus came not to save good people. He didn't come to save the upright and the just. He came to save sinners. Sinners like you, sinners like me. He came to save people who'd gone astray and come short of the glory of God. And this I will that Jesus speaks, we discover last time, it goes right to the heart. He says, I will no wise. Now, that's interesting. In the Greek, it means I will in no wise, I will literally never, certainly not at all, by no means, in no case, cast you out. Now, that's good news, folks. I don't know how yous can sit week after week with big, stern, long faces listening to the gospel. I think sometimes that somebody should leap up and jump over a chair, kick it over, do something to say, yes, hallelujah. I know we're reserved. But this gospel's good stuff. I will in no wise, I will never cast you out. I'll never cast you. Oh, brother, don't you preach that eternal security stuff. I'm not preaching it. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Jesus said, come to me. I will in no wise, never, no, never, not ever, in no case, cast you out. But don't I have to keep performing? No, you don't have to keep performing. In fact, if you live under that, you will die on the vine. You will drop away. You'll be looking to yourself, you'll be self-centered, you'll be looking to your performance, and you'll never know whether you've got enough performance before the Father. But let me tell you, Jesus has got all the performance that we need. We come to him, and he is our representative before the Father. He is all our righteousness. Can you not rest on that? I don't care what you've done in your past. And can you not rest on Jesus and his righteousness? And come just as you are to Jesus. Take him at his word. Brother Miles, are you talking to unsaved today? And I know there's people listening in sermon audio and on YouTube. Are you talking to non-believers? Are you talking to believers? You know what? I'm talking to both. Because I've never met a believer who hasn't sinned. I've never met a believer who hasn't disappointed themselves and God. He that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. I don't care what you've been playing with, come to Jesus. Put your trust in him. He will not refuse you. Take him at his word. Jesus saves sinners. That's his occupation. That's why he left heaven to come into this world. That's why he left his heavenly throne. Why? To save sinners. Luke 19:10, we said last time the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Then we saw there was an I will of cleansing. That was found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 12 through to 13. Luke's Gospel. And it came to pass that when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou will, if you will, you can make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed. This is the I will of cleansing. Sin oftentimes is likened to leprosy. It makes, sin takes over, leprosy takes over, and you feel absolutely vile. You are treated as if you're vile. You're separated from society. And sin, when it takes over and grows, you know sin will always keep growing. It'll keep growing. Well, I'm not talking like we're helpless victims here, because we take our sin to the cross. We take our sin through repentance to the cross and say, Lord, look at me, this is what I am. But we're honest with God about who we are. And I receive fresh cleansing every day. And you say, well, brother, you were cleansed 2,000 years ago. Yes, I was. And I'm keeping short accounts with God for fellowship. I don't want to turn away from him. I don't want to displease him. Yeah. And it's the Lord Jesus who alone can remove the filth of sin. Have you ever been to him and said, Lord, help me. I'm full of sin. I need to be cleansed. I need my conscience to be cleansed. Old sins are casting long shadows. My past has disgraced me. Well, if it has, it has. But don't let it haunt you. Don't let it determine your future. Take everything to the cross and start again. I believe or non-believer, start again with the fresh cleansing from Calvary. You know something? Only forgiveness, the only kind of forgiveness that can be enjoyed is a forgiveness which is sought through repentance. You see, if you determine, okay, I've sinned, not like I like this idea of taking it to the cross, taking it to the blood, but I'm going to continue living the way I'm living. That's not repentance. You can apply it to the cross all you like, but you think Jesus is some kind of an idiot, an idiot? Yeah, Lord, forgive me of this, forgive me of this, forgive me of this, but I'm going to keep on doing it. No. By your grace, Lord, empower me to overcome these things. I don't want to be like that. And then we discovered the I will of service. Mark 1:17. Oh, what a great, great scripture. Follow me. Follow me, says Jesus. Come after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Follow him, he says. This is a promise, isn't it? I will make you to become fishers of men. Oh, I'd love to learn about evangelism. Would you? Follow Jesus. He said, I will. Does he keep his word? Follow me. Come after me. I will make you to become fishers of men. Listen, I'm not against you going to an evangelistic course to learn techniques. Great. That's lovely. But here it is in the scripture. Follow me. I will make you to become a fisher of men, a fisherman. Following leads to fishing. Now listen, there's no Christian, therefore, who can possibly say to me honestly that they are not called to be a part of spreading the gospel. You can't do it. You can't tell me that. Why? Because Jesus said, I will make you a fisher of men. What's your calling in life? To follow Jesus and become a fisher of men. Oh, I don't say that this is saying that everyone who follows him becomes a street evangelist. But our business is to lift up Jesus. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. That means all kinds of men. And as we follow him, we become workers for him. The disciples were followers and they turned the world in its head. And every Christian is called to be a worker. You can be a Christian worker where you work, where you're employed. College. Full-time worker for the Lord Jesus Christ. One minister was shaking hands at the door. He had just preached. He was a visiting minister, and he was standing at the door, as the custom is, and shaking hands with everybody. And he said, this young lady stopped and said, and what do you do for a living? She said, oh, I'm a full-time worker for Jesus Christ, cleverly disguised as a secretary. Yeah, that's what you are. You're a full-time worker. I don't care what your disguise is. You're a full-time worker. Follow me. And I'll make you to become fishers of men. Do you want to cast? Do you want to catch souls? Well, then cast the gospel net. And you say, but I'm only one person. Yeah, that's true. There was an old-time preacher, and he read in his Bible Isaiah 6 and verse 8. You don't have to turn there, but I'll say, here's what it says. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who shall go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And the preacher wrote down, he said, I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. What can I do? I ought to do. And what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I will do. Full-time, you are a full-time worker. You're in full-time ministry. Follow me. Pray for your family. You know, every person can pray. You say, I'm not any good at talking to people. That's all right. Leave a tract. Pray. Pray for family members. Pray for people you work with. Pray for people you come into contact with, that they will be saved. So are you a fisher of men? Are you actively involved with fishing for men? Oh, guys, let me be tough on you. What did Jesus say? Follow me and I will make you to become. If there's nothing stirring in your heart about fishing for souls, then I've got to ask this question. Are you a follower? Jesus said, come after me. And another verse, it's follow me. And I'll make you to become a fisher of men. And then I believe, how many was that we did? Did we end up there? We did, didn't we? Today I want to continue with the I will of comfort. It's a tremendous I will. You find it in John 14, verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. Jesus is talking about him going away and the sending the Holy Spirit. And he says, I will not leave you comfortless. This is a delightful truth for every believer listening to me today. Christ has not left us comfortless. He has not left us alone. Although he ascended back to the throne of grace, he has not left us comfortless. He said literally in the Greek, he said, I will not leave you orphanos. That's comfortless. Orphanos, orphans. I'll not leave you orphans. Let me tell you, there's nothing better than seeing orphans rescued. I mean, we've got 20, only 20. It's a drop in the ocean. But 20 little souls out there in Yadgir, Karnataka, who last year were on the streets. One little boy, his mother turned around and murdered his father. He's left without anybody. Every picture that we have, every child we met has an incredible story of tragedy. What a difference it makes to them to be in an orphanage. Can you imagine the difference then it would make if somebody came and adopted them out of the orphanage? And said, you're my family. That's what Jesus has done. He said, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. He adopts us into his family. Did you know you're an adopted child into the family of God? You're an adopted child. Wow. Is that grace or is that grace? It's grace. Unfortunately, many Christians live with what I call an orphaned heart. Not knowing that you're loved. Not knowing that you're cared for. Not knowing that Jesus is there for you right now, comforting. Letting his presence be known to you. Oh, listen, we're unsure of the Father's love. We don't experience the comfort of his presence. Well, listen, if you've trusted Christ, this is your heritage. You're part of his family. He's your father. Call him father. In Jesus' name, I call you father. I thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave me as an orphan, but Lord, you've comforted me. I'm not going to leave you orphans. Jesus has adopted us. The Father has brought us into his family. And he has brought us life to himself. He doesn't abandon us. He has chosen us in eternity. He will not abandon us. And yet we run around with our head bowed down and we think God's against us. We think everything's against us. And we're being beat down by the failures of the past, beat down by bad relationships, beat down by... And you're a child of God. You're not an orphan. You're a child of God. Oh, these are the applications of the gospel. Aren't they wonderful? Hallelujah. Yeah, the Lord does not abandon the ones he's chosen and adopted. Think about Joseph. Joseph, he was cast into the prison, but it says God was with him. Daniel, he was cast into the den of lions, and God was with him in the person of the fourth man. And we have Christ with us, and he never forsakes us. I will never leave you or forsake you, he says. We're his children. It's wonderful. And so may God grant us a fresh vision of the Lord Jesus today as the one who has all power in heaven and earth and the one who said, lo, I am with you always. I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. We can never be separated from his love. He is with us. He is here. And one day soon, we're going to see him in person. Hello? One day soon, we are going to see him in person. We'll see him in his beauty. And that brings us to the I will of resurrection, John 6:40. This occurs four times. These statements occur four times in this chapter. But look what it says, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. Here it comes. And I will. What will you do, Jesus? I will raise him up at the last day. Isn't that thrilling? I will raise him up at the last day. This is the promise of our resurrection. We have a Savior who has power over death. Our lovely Savior holds the keys of death and hell. And I pity the unbeliever who has no hope of eternity, no hope beyond the grave. Now, when Christ was on earth, he gave demonstrations of how he had authority over death. Total demonstrations. Remember, he raised the widow of Nain's son. He raised Jairus' daughter. He raised Lazarus at Bethany. Why then would there be any doubt that he will keep his word? He shows he can raise the dead. But not only that, who raised Jesus from the dead? Well, Jesus said about himself, he says, no man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. Listen, I have power to take it up. He raised himself. That's pretty powerful. Do you doubt then that he can raise you? He says, I will raise you up. Have you believed on him? I will raise you up at the last day. He raised three people from the dead, and he raised himself from the dead. Do you doubt that Jesus will raise you up? Is he a liar? This is good news. This is good news. How dark, how gloomy our world would be if we had no sure and certain hope of the resurrection from the dead. You know, when we see Christians die, it's sad if we know them. I don't want to mention this too much, but I was absolutely, when my son was killed, I still am shattered. 3 years, still shattered. But I'm not without hope. We'll see him again. And so there always is sorrow when a believer dies. But we're not without hope. I will raise him up. Jesus raises from the dead those who have died in Christ. Yes, the darkness will disappear, and the light of the resurrection will dawn upon us, and it's only a little while when we see this I will brought to pass. It's a precious, precious promise. I will raise you up at the last day. Over in India, they have different kinds of priests. There was once a Brahmin priest who was very high caste, and a man was conversing with him, and he said, sir, he said, could you say, as a Brahmin priest, could you say, I am the resurrection and the life? The priest looked at him and said, well, yes, I can say that. Then the man says, yeah, but could you make anybody believe it? No, you couldn't. Hey, you know, Michael, can you say, I am the resurrection and the life? Of course you can say it, but you can't mean it. You can't do it. You can't. Rob Wills, are you going to say that then? Raise somebody from the dead. Let's go after lunch. We'll go up to the graveyard and we'll raise the dead. None of us can do it. You can say it, but you can't do it. But Jesus said it and he did it. He's wonderful, isn't he? He's wonderful. He's the resurrection and the life. He proves his superiority over all other teachers. He exhibited his divine power and silenced his enemies. He raised people from the dead and then raised himself from the dead. But I'm going to bring this message to an end and give you the final I will. It's the I will of glory. John 17, verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. This is a profound verse, and the verse afterwards, he turns around and he says, righteous Father. He doesn't call him Holy Father. He calls him righteous Father. And there's so much depth in that. But for the purpose of this meeting or this message, we'll simply look at this I will. And this I will is not a wish. And I hope so. He says, I will. This is my will. This is my will. And you know, not Jesus only asked for the Father's will. And so the Father and the Son are united. I will, Lord. I will. This is his prayer the night before he is crucified in Calvary. And he says, I will that they be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Oh, brothers and sisters, the Lord wants us to behold his glory. And we shall see his glory. We shall see the glory of the King by and by. There's a glorious day coming before us in the future. We will behold the glory. We will behold the glory. Jesus said, I will that they behold my glory. I must ask, are you interested in seeing his glory today? We think the glory is only for the future. We are called to behold his glory by faith. Eventually we will behold it by sight, but by faith we are called to behold his glory. Oh yeah. Well, do you know what heaven's like? You ready for this? I can tell you what heaven's like. People say, oh no, Brother McKee, it's a big mystery. No, it's not. I'll tell you what heaven's like. It's being with Jesus forever. That's heaven. I've told you about an old Cornish preacher from the 1800s, a guy called Billy Bray, great character, and he said, I'd rather be in hell with Jesus than in heaven without Jesus. For hell with Jesus would seem like just like heaven to me, and heaven without Jesus would seem just like hell to me. You want me to repeat that? That was good. I'd rather be in hell, he says. Come on, he says. I'd rather be in hell with Jesus than in heaven without Jesus. He's so right. Because hell with Jesus would make hell into heaven. And heaven without Jesus would make heaven into hell. So let me ask you, do you want to go to heaven? I love asking people that when I'm witnessing. Do you want to go to heaven? You know, I have never met anybody says, maybe once. It's been a long while since I've been witnessing. I mean, I've been doing it for a long time. But I can't really remember anybody when you say, would you like to go to heaven? They say, no, I want to go to hell. I can't remember that. Most people say, I want to go to heaven. Well, let's ask it another way then. Do you want to be with Jesus forever? Now that's a different question, isn't it? Yeah, I want to go to heaven because I want to avoid hell. Hey, wait a minute. Do you want to be with Jesus forever? Oh, that will start to reveal what's in your heart. Does the idea of being with Jesus forever bore you? You know, Jesus is phenomenal because have you ever met people that you love, your best friend, and they come to visit your best friend, and your guy's going, but after 2 weeks of them, you say, you know, I don't want them here anymore. Sometimes it's less than 2 weeks. Sometimes it's just a day, and you say, they're driving me mad. But we're going to be with Jesus forever and not be bored. But be thrilled and overwhelmed with his glory. Oh, I will, he says, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory.
Hallelujah.
Folks, glory is on the way. And that's why Paul was able to keep rejoicing. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, these light afflictions are but for a moment. These stripes that I get, these few stones, that doesn't matter what they throw at me, at my reputation or at me physically. There's a glory coming, which is far greater. I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to be with Jesus. We're going to Whatever happens, whatever his plan is, we don't know what his plan is. But he'll have a plan. And Paul says, that's where I'm going. That's what I'm looking for. So, folks, there's no need to be downcast. Nighttime will soon pass away. The morning will dawn. The resurrection morning will dawn. Death doesn't come in glory, but there's coming a day when there's no more death, there's no more sickness, there's no more pain, there's no more heartache, there's no more brokenheartedness. We have a glorious future with the Lord Jesus. And that day is a lot nearer than some of us think. And so in the I wills of Jesus, we saw the I will of salvation. He'll save you. Don't care how bad you are, he'll save you. And there was the I will of cleansing. You know that filthiness that is ascribed to sin, or not ascribed, but you experience with sin? He'll cleanse you. He'll cleanse you. Then there's the I will of service. Follow me and I'll make you to become a fisher of men. Oh, let me challenge you. Pray for souls this week. Witness this week if you get a chance. Never turn down chances. You might have to practice that. You might learn how to just get people into a conversation and bring them the gospel. But we've got to be involved with witnessing, bringing people into the assembly, even inviting someone to come to the meeting to hear the gospel. And then there's the I will of comfort. He's not left us orphans. Then there's the I will of resurrection. I will raise them up on the last day. And the I will of glory. I will that they be with me, that we see, they see my glory. And that is the gospel truth this morning. Amen.
The love, the mystery. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about our ministry, go to milesmckee.com. Our church website is thegracechurch.ie. We'd love to hear from you. Miles's email is miles@thegracechurch.ie. If you'd like to support the work we are doing in Ireland and other parts of the world, you can click on the donate link on milesmckee.com. Don't forget to check out more sermons at sermonaudio.com. Until next time, slán agus bainic libh. Never have enough.